entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. All airwaves to the people. Coming up next, Good Morning Nueva York, with me, your host, King Downing. Good morning.
It's your only right that you should play the way you feel it. But listen carefully to the sound of your loneliness, like a heartbeat drives you mad. And the steel is all remembering what you had and what you know.
You know how I feel.
How are you this morning, the start of a new week? Welcome to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins Engineering in the studio, and I'm remote. If you're waking up now, rise and shine with us. If you're already up, stay with us. And if you're one of the many overnight or essential workers just getting home, let us tuck you in. It's a new day, a new week, a new decade. Make the most of it. We opened up with this discovery that has just had me just flying over the roofs. This is Dreams by Infinity Song, and that's, of course, the original Fleetwood Mac single. But Dreams is a group, it's a family of five, and they're like the next generation of Neo Soul, and they're from New York City. And I want to give props to Victory, Abraham, Angel Boyd, Israel, and Talia Momo Boyd. And I'm going to be hearing a lot more from them. And then, of course, our theme song, Feeling Good, with Andy Bay and the Bay Sisters. Today, we know we can't be everywhere. Photographers, professional, and everyday people bridge the gap and put us on the scene. We'll talk to a pro about his work and yours. It's 58 degrees out now. It's raining. It will be a high of 59, a low of 40 today. Sunrise 6:42, sunset 4:32. There's a wind advisory in effect from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. 10 to 15 mile an hour winds with gusts up to 25, so watch out. For the morning, 52 degrees, rain, 40% chance of rain. For the afternoon, 50 degrees, sunny, 5% chance of rain. For the evening, 43 degrees, clear, 5% chance of rain. On to transit. The E train has been partially suspended, delays on the D, no service on the S. And there are planned service changes on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 5, A, C, D, E, F, L, N, Q, R, and SIR. Maybe I should have just named the ones that don't have service plans. Of course, there's no service from 1 to 5 a.m. and there are always extra buses running during that time. Go to mta.info for schedules on service. And now, on with the program. Welcome to Good Morning Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering. We know we can't be everywhere, so photographers, professional, and everyday people bridge the gap and put us on the scene. We'll talk to a pro about his work and yours. And in the background, that's Snapshot by Slave. And our guest this morning is photographer Brian Branch Price. Welcome to WBAI Good Morning Nueva York.
Good morning, King. How are you this morning?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm excited to be here. First, I'd like to thank you for inviting me on the show. I love your work.
Well, I love yours. And before we get into that, I want to let folks know that you can sort of, we kind of have our home audience, we call it, and they can play at home. And so I want to send them to BrianBranchPrice.com and take a look at some of the photos there, because we may be talking about some of them. BrianBranchPrice.com. Now, you and I have run into each other out on the streets. We've both been covering these events, either as with WBAI or as a cop watcher, part of the Justice Committee, and I have seen you out there. And as I went through even some of the videos that I was taking to cover the event for this show, I found you in some of them. I didn't realize that until I looked them over getting ready for the show. So just tell us, what do you do and how did you become a professional photographer?
Thank you. Thank you so much for that, King. I am a photojournalist by heart, and I also do portraits. I came into photography, it's funny you asked that. I was about 12, 13. Family friends, my family, I live in Jersey, Plainfield, Jersey, and my family back then in the 60s and 70s were like the welcome committee, and we welcomed in Art Sears Jr., who was a writer for Ebony Magazine. And one day I popped over the house, and Art had over Monita Sleet Jr., and Monita was a photographer at Ebony, and so he was a great influence over my life at that young age. But, of course, I didn't really realize who he was until I got a little older, until I got to 17, 18, and really started doing photography at home and then away at college. So he was a great starter for my career. And Juanita, if no one knows who he was the first black person to win a Pulitzer Prize during the civil rights. He was a civil rights photographer as well.
Yeah, I advise people to look up his work. I had an interest in photography as well, and at an early age, I just started reading the credits, and his name came up because it was so unusual that it stuck with me at an early age. So you actually had a chance to meet him. What was he like?
Well, he was a gentle person. No one knew who he was until his pictures were published, and and we stayed in touch over the years. He invited me into the New York Bureau to sit down and have, you know, what they call a chat and chew about photography and career-wise and how to work for publications, Ebony. And, of course, back then in the early 80s and 90s, you could really talk to editors on the phone and come in and talk to them and show them your book and drop off your book. And they'll eventually give you work. So that was a great time period. But if I could... Can I share one story about Mr. Sleek?
Of course. Please.
Yeah. So during his ending career, he was at the 96 Olympics in Atlanta. And I said, oh, what is he doing covering sports? He never covers sports. He's always doing editorial and covers. So back then in photography, it was transitioning from film to digital. And that time we were doing film, developing film, and scanning film on the computers and then uploading it to our servers. So one day, Sleep walked into the media room where there's 200 photographers talking and gaggling. This is loud as in any corner of New York City. And Ken Irby, another mentor of mine, was handling the media room with the photographers. And so Kenny and I both know Sleep, so he's like, you know, a neighbor, a friend, a brother. So it's just an early impression to us. But he told Sleep, sit tight, I'll help you out with your film, because he didn't know how to do the transition of transmitting film and everything. And then Sleep goes up and asks Kenny again, hey, Kenny, I got to get these pictures out. And he said, okay, Sleep, I'll get to you in a second. Then all of a sudden, the whole room was totally quiet, and they wanted to meet Juanita. Because they'd never see him, they never knew who he was. They knew his work and everything. So that made me really, really proud to really know this person, that all these people wanted to sit down and talk to him about his work. And that's my little story about Mr. Sleep.
So what did you learn from him?
He taught me to talk to people before you really get into doing a photograph. It's not just as easy as clicking the picture in front of you. But you'll find out that when you sit down and have conversations with people, you get to know more about them, and you can see how to approach an angle or how to approach a photograph, and stay in contact with the subjects and let them know that, you know, this picture or the story you're working on is, you know, it's going to be, could be worldwide, it could be going around the world, and I just want you to be at your best when I capture you. And so we had a long conversation about subject matter and the basic photography. He loved black and white. And that's been our continual conversations about really not so much just doing the photographs, but talking to people and then capturing them. And that's what I learned a lot from Mr. Sleep.
Yeah, he was quite a photographer. So now turning to you, and I hope our folks will turn to Brian Branch Price. .com and take a look at some of the categories of photographs. You've got portraits, you have photojournalism, you have three sort of categories there. There's a short-term memory loss project, then Black Lives Matter, and then street photos. Just, and then also the legends of gospel. Just tell me something about your areas of interest and how you picked up on them.
The short-term memory loss and legends of gospels are kind of connected. That is about my mother, who recently passed.
Sorry to hear.
Of Alzheimer's and dementia, and when I was first starting photography, she dragged me out to a gospel concert. I said, Mom, I really don't want to go. But so she dragged me out, and I had my camera just starting out. I said, who are we going to see, Mom? You're going to see Sissy Houston. I said, Mom, who is that? So I said, oh, okay, I'll go. I'll go. I'll take a picture. I'll come, and I'll help out in the church. And, of course, now I know who Sissy Houston is. So so that's kind of – that started my documentary on gospel artists back then. And it went through – I would say 30 plus years of going to concerts and interviewing folks, and I'm wrapping it up. Or I'm negotiating a contract now with Verde Press to publish a book on the gospel artists that I've been covering for 30 plus years around the country. And so, going back to dementia, which is tough, and I know a lot of folks, parents and children, go through this disease, and my sister, who of course is a hero on that, really took good care of my mother in her few years, and just trying to understand from a person who was just full of life to to see her slowly melt away. But she's my mom. I love her. So you know, we got to document her and be with her and kind of understand how life, the journey of life. So,
That's great.
Yeah, short term came through.
So you are listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. All airwaves to the people. And we are now talking about photography, and we have Brian Branch Price with us, photographer that I ran into in the street. And we're asking folks to go to brianbranchprice.com and look at his array. And the gospel spread here is great. You've got the Winans, you've got the Hawkins brothers, you've got a whole, and they're all in black and white. Are they in originally in color? Or are they in both?
They are in both, mostly black and white. Of course, back in the 80s, everything started out in black and white back then for me. That was a very interesting project to work on. They gave me a lot of access to work on the stage and behind the stage and even in the green room. Doing the Hawkins were really good. Edwin was really, really good with photographs and let me photograph him. And I finally caught him and his brother at the same time. Of course, they live out in California. I started working with a group, Tri-State Mass Choir out of Philadelphia. And they were really connected with Evan Hawkins. So Tri-State, again, is from Philadelphia. And I don't think I have the picture up now, but they were doing a live show and a live recording, and they invited Philadelphia's greatest son, Grover Washington Jr., to record with them. And I had the only photograph of them recording with Grover Washington. And I apologize, and I don't think I have that up, but I wanted to share that with you. But they just let me walk around, do a few pictures. I was very professional how I did it, not to be in the crowd's way, the audience way, not to be in a musician's way, you had to do the old sleeve trick, but just stay in the side, get your picture, move out, move in. It was a really, really cool journey doing the Winans, doing the commission. The Winans were early on in the project, and then I caught them in the mid-2000s when the whole family was together. And I've seen them grow. I have a early photo of John Gray, who's now a preacher. He sang. John used to sing all the time. Now he's a preacher in Texas, I believe. Hezekiah Walker, when he was a little younger, of course, has from New York. He was really good. Let me photograph him. And everybody's really, really good with photographs because they didn't get a lot of photographers around them, so they enjoyed the company. The Clark and, sisters, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everyone loved Clark sisters. I've gone to the shows without the cameras, just enjoyed them. So I've covered them for a number of years. And I lived in Detroit for a little bit. I interned at the Free Press, and, I just meeting them out there was great. And the mother was Clark, and there was this, of course, Detroit is full of gospel people. I should add, King, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. That's what we're looking for. You also had one of my favorites, the Dixie Hummingbirds, also there.
Like Dixie Hummingbirds, huh?
I do. I've always been into the vocals and in the harmonies, and they just did it. Love Me Like a Rock was one of my favorites, and
goodness.
You know, I had the same turn too. I didn't pay attention to it for a long time because it kind of reminded me of being stuck in church, but then I'm just stretched out and really started to listen to it. So I'm glad to hear that you had a chance to cover that. Now let's take a turn to the present day, because you also have a category here that you call Black Lives Matter, the Third Reconstruction. And before we talk about that, I want to play a clip of you and I ran into each other at the protest that started at the Stonewall Inn, the famous site of the LGBT rebellion, and it's now the modern focus of the trans rights movement and the continuation of the LGBT movement. And we were both covering a protest there that kind of got off from Stonewall just when it seemed like it was ending, and then just turned into a march that just went all over the lower part of the city in the evening. So what I want to do is I want to play from some sound from that, and then I want to just get your thoughts on, okay, so here's this action going on. How do you decide what you're going to focus in on and what you're going to cover? So let's take a listen to some sound from the Stonewall Inn protest and march. So there you are, and all of this is unfolding in front of us. Oh, the energy was so high, and the trans sisters were in full regalia, including heels, marching and dancing. So this is in front of you now. How do you decide how you're going to cover this for the folks who can't be there?
Oh, thank you for that, King. I'm glad you mentioned that. So the main voice you heard with the call and response was Queen Jean, spelled Q-W-E-E-N, Queen Jean. I remember back in early June, Queen came out to the Black Lives Matter marches down at Occupy City Hall, and Queen was and seemed to be a bit shy, but well-spoken, and spoke at all the marches, and then And then one day they started their own trans march and protest at the Stonewall Inn. And I tell you, Queen is something else. She leaves that crowd like I haven't seen. So when I approach someone like that, I do like to talk to them first if I can. I don't really photograph around the mics because they start off with speeches. And the speeches are very good and very formative, and I think photographers need to listen to what they have to say because that's part of the story. And you want to not just capture the emotion of the photograph, but you want to also, just as a photojournalist, you want to describe why they're there because every Thursday, they have a theme. So that theme, I can't remember what that theme was for that night, but they have a theme, and they have, like you said, all the regalia, just great outfits that they wear in marching heels. And I did talk to a few of the marchers. I said, are you really going to march in those heels? And he said, yep, I do it all the time. So I try to catch them as they proceed during the march, and I try to catch some portraits or profiles away from the stage. But it's a little more intimate when you catch them while they're marching. As opposed to on the stage with the mic. And it's good to listen there. It's good to have those photographs just for documentary sake, but I think photographers can go see this happen a lot, so I think it's better to catch them in more action or set them aside for a portrait. This is a portrait of Queen Jean. She represents the trans movement. So that's how I covered. That's how I would cover the marches and rallies, and it did get picked up. One rally I missed. I think the week before they were some of them got arrested for doing the same thing for a peaceful demonstration, peaceful march, and they walk, they meander, King. They don't do a straight line. You don't know where they're going. They don't tell you where you're going until they get there. And that's one of the difficult things about these marches, to be on marches, that they were going this way and we're turning that way and we're turning this way. We'll let you know we get there. And then sometimes they pause for an hour or two in the middle of the streets and go shut down traffic, and they'll have some more speeches to make the public aware of who we are and why we're here and why you should care about us.
And what are you important. Yeah, that's great. And what are you looking for? As you're shooting, are you mostly focusing on portraits? Are you taking stills of candids of live action? What is your focus?
Yeah, so in the beginning, I will pull somebody aside. Hey, I really like what you have on. Can I grab a portrait of you? Because I really enjoy portraits, too. And then the candids, I would grab the candids as well as the marching proceeds and let them be who they are without really interfering what they do. For the portraits, you can kind of, you have some leeway, but when they're doing candid, I like to catch them with their signs. I like to catch them with their expressions. And I do pop in a little video every now and then just to have. And I do some, I do also contract, I'm sorry, I should have told you earlier, I do contract with Zuma Press, who is a wire service. So I do put pictures out every week on these marches. So this has been going on for quite some long time, and there's still some interest in this.
We're going to come back. We're going to take a break with our conversation with Brian Branch Price, professional photographer, just now talking about the Stonewall marches. And we're going to hear more. So stay with us. In the background, you're listening to Kodachrome from Paul Simon.
Nice.
Give us the green to summers, makes you think all the world to a sunny day. Oh yeah, I got an iPhone camera, I love to take a photograph. So mama, don't take my Kodachrome away.
Hi, this is Tony Roberts. And you're listening to WBAI in New York, the voice of truth since 1960.
There's a war on the workers, don't you know it, can't you see it?
Building Bridges, your community and labor report. From your workplace to your neighborhood, listen to the show that brings it all together. Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. bringing you news and analysis, local, national, and international. Monday nights, 7 p.m., we build bridges.
And it's time we started calling the shots.
Come on, neighbors, let's get wise.
So, the plaster is falling, the paint is peeling, the plumbing is leaking, the heat and hot water keep cutting off, the elevator keeps breaking down, and the landlord won't return your calls, but the rent keeps going up and up and up?
Find out what you can do about it. Tune in to Housing Notebook, Mondays at 8 p.m.
Reactionary landlord.
This boy I know so well, back in the day was cool and all. Fell in love, I fell in love, thought he was the one for me. Other boys I could not see, and look what happened to our love. I'm like, how could it be? It should have been me and you, it could have been you and me. Before you broke my heart and now I'm standing there. It should have been me and you, it could have been you and me.
To WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. So if you missed part of this show or want to catch up with any others, just go and click on the box on the website. It can take you right back to the program. Michael G. Haskins is engineering. My name is King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. And we're talking photography with professional photographer Brian Branch Price. And we've talked about, we're asking our Play at Home audience to go to brianbranchprice.com and check out his photographs. We're now looking at his protest coverage. He's got the George Floyd protests, Black Lives Matter, and one that caught my attention. It says Jill Nelson Day 19. Tell us about that one.
Hey, Kai King. Yes, Jill Nelson, that was so interesting because Jill, of course, was in the news back in early spring. And in fact, Jill and I go back when I used to freelance for the Washington Post. So I knew Jill from a time. And she was out there protesting, and she had every right to be out there because she, I'm sure your audience knows that she did some, I think they call her graffiti grandma. I think that's what they call her because she wrote something about Trump on an abandoned building, and she was arrested. And I looked at her and I said, Jill, are you out here? And she says, yes, I'm out here for a very same reason everyone's out here. And that's how I got that photo of Jill, and we just talked about what it felt like to, you know, to be arrested and how she came to be out today to support the march up there. And I think it was in Washington Heights, and that's the neighborhood she lives in. And I had the photograph, Joe.
That's a great find. You may not have any way of knowing this, but I had her on the air with her lawyer, Norm Siegel, to talk about the case. And in fact, I had made a note to myself to find out what was going on, because this thing should have been dropped a long time ago. And I did cover the protest that she had in Washington Heights, where her neighbors and other folks, including some politicians, turned out in her support, because I mean, she wrote on the side of a building in chalk, and that is not vandalism, because the chalk washes away, and the courts have known that. So these cops clearly knew that and were just trying to harass a raging granny. So yeah. I'm glad that you had that. And I've known her for a long time. Her book, Volunteer Slavery, talking about being a black journalist down there at that time. And, you know, it couldn't have happened to a worse or better person at the same time. But we'll be sure to follow up on what happened with that. So
yes, I have a book, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
yeah. Yeah.
So much of the world now, the information goes out from people who are just raising their cell phones up in the air and, you know, acting like they just don't care, whether it's George Floyd, whether it's Eric Garner, other scenes and videos of things that are going on. What's your take on this whole move of the people into basically your chosen field?
That's a very, very interesting point you brought up, King. I really don't know what folks do with those images that they collect with the cell phones. I'm assuming some throw them on Instagram like I do as well. But what concerns me is how they protect the images, because a lot of images, they don't realize that they own those images. And they have rights to those images. And I talk to people, what do you do with your images? How can I see them? Where are they going? Are they protected? And things of that sort. So, and sometimes, besides that point, yet I have, some folks have gotten real paid assignments doing iPhone photos, which is quite interesting. And so it has dipped into our field. But those are folks who just want to get pictures. You know, that's good enough. We just need it for this, need it for that. But you just have to adapt to it. And I've taken some iPhone photos and turned it into the wire service, and I use it. But, of course, I prefer the professional cameras. So that's my short take on iPhone. It's here. It's not going to go anywhere. And it captures images. It gives people access to things they may never really have before, where you had to spend hundreds and thousands of dollars to get a camera and get video equipment, and now you're in a ball game where you can capture images.
And now these cell phones have telephoto lenses and wide-angle lens attachments that can go with them. So there's a way to overcome that, I guess, I don't know the technical term, that flat depth of field that makes it look like you're about a block further away than you actually are when you try to get any kind of, panorama.
Yeah, well, one of the things, it's almost like a polarized instant. You can grab a photo instantly on smooth terms, long as people aren't moving too much. You can just, hey, let me get a picture of you and pop it out. And you do have telephotos. It's kind of quiet. It's kind of behind the scenes, and you don't really know you're being photographed. But when you pull up a big camera like the one I use, you know you're being photographed. So it can work handily as well.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I noticed that you're using a relatively small SLR digital camera. What is it that you were using? Because it was definitely not one of the full size ones that you see a lot of people using.
Oh, yes. So that was, I use Leica cameras. They're a German-made camera, and there's a rangefinder. And it's been around for decades. And a lot of photojournalists, this is the go-to camera for work, because it's a manual camera, King. It's not autofocus, so you have to pretty much know how to get things in focus. And going back to how do I cover those marches, you know, back in Stone Inn, it's not so much point and shoot. It's like, okay, you guys got to walk into the range and be in focus, and then everything's going to be great. Because it's nighttime, and you have to have you know, really fast lenses, 1.4 or Noctilux, and Noctilux is a really, really fast lens. I don't need to be too technical with my audience. But when you shoot an available light without a flash, you have to be able to capture those images. And so the Leica provides that for me. And it is sort of like almost like, I can't call it quite an iPhone, but you can get in and get out without really being noticed and seen, because people don't think it's, okay, it's not really using a big, huge camera, but yet it is a very, very stealthy professional camera that I use.
Did you say that camera, that you have to just work with the depth of field and that there's not a focus on it? Is that what you said?
No, there's a focus, but you have to use a range or a zone. You can manually focus, but at nighttime when people are moving, it's almost impossible. So what I do is I'm going to say, King, for example, if you're 8 feet in front of me, then I'm going to set my focus on 8 to 10 feet. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be in focus every time when I use that range. If you're 2 feet in front of me, I have to manually set the focus and keep moving and keep you 2 to 3 feet of that distance away from me so that you will be in focus. It's a totally manual range, manual camera. It's a mirrorless camera, I should say. And I know a lot of my colleagues use that for work. It takes a little bit to used to getting to, but when you get the picture, it's very amazing.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, streaming live and available on demand at WBAI.org. The program is Good Morning, Nueva York. I'm your host, King Downing. We'll be here till 7 a.m. Michael G. Haskins is engineering in the studio, and I am still remote for the time being. And we're talking to photographer Brian Branch Price about his portrait work, about his coverage of Black Lives Matter, and just photography in general. And we're going to be taking your calls in a minute. So if you've got any questions, you know, what about your photography? Do you have any questions about the pictures you take? Would you like to be better at this? Did you see Brian out there and want to comment on his work? 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. In the meantime, I'm going to ask you to also step back, and I want you to picture something in your mind. Picture a radio station that's 60 years old, completely dependent on you, the listener, for its support, and where you're able to go whenever you want to know the latest. What's happening with the George Floyd protests? You can go online and you can see the pictures, but when you want to hear the commentary, when you want to hear from the Garner family, or when you want to hear from the Floyd family or the organizers in Minnesota, the people on the ground doing the work and not just the journalists who are covering it, you come to WBAI, because we go right on the ground. We get the people who are out there doing it. And I think Brian Branch Price might have been out in Ferguson at the same time that I was covering it for WBAI, and I was sending audio back. Where else can you get the on-the-ground story from the most affected people? So I'm asking you to become a WBAI buddy in the name of Good Morning, Nueva York. And you can call 21—that's the call-in number. Hopefully you're calling in. But also you're taking a moment to dial 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, or going to give to WBAI.org and say thanks to the station that has a lot of things you like and, of course, a lot of things that you may not like. But we're always on the ground covering the story from the point of view of those who are most affected. 516-620-3602. So turning back now to our folks who are now with their cell phones everywhere, and when I do speak to people now, I ask everyone to hold their phones in the air and act like they just don't care, and then we kind of do a mini workshop on people's rights to film the police, no matter what they're doing, because they're in public, they're public servants. Now, a lot of times we see these videos that are taken, and we see stills that are taken of police action. They're shaky. They're not framed. I know there's a lot of excitement going on there, but what tips do you have for people who are covering these actions with their cell phones?
Great point, King. When you're using your cell phone to get some action photos, one thing you got to keep in mind is that your subject matter should be still and your hands should be still. And that's quite easy to achieve by just waiting for that image to occur in front of you, because it's going to happen. You just have to be in the right spot, which is not hard. And you hold your phone up, and you hold it steady, and you hit the button. And when they stop moving, you grab that picture. And also, you try to keep your hand as steady as you can as well, because with the video, there's going to be some shakes, and I don't think the cameras nowadays have the stabilization that other DSLRs and mirrorless cameras have. So just my main point, just be still and wait for things to come to you and stop and then grab the moment. And you'll see that your results will see that your images will be still, or your video won't show as much camera shake, as what they call it. But I wanted to go back to a photograph I took, if I can, King. And we talked about the police. On the Black Lives Matter that I'm covering, I have a photograph of Joe Brown and Lieutenant Nickus, I think his name is. And this was early in the March protests. And I had, it goes back to my point where you have to talk to your subject matter. And Joe was carrying around this American flag. He had Black Lives Matter on it. And so he said, "Brian, come here. I want to get this picture of me and the police officer," which I was very surprised, because there's animosity when the marchers were out there. So what had happened was they greeted each other, and Nickus, I believe, reached out to hug Joe. He hugged back. And it was a very remarkable photograph that just happened. I would never have gotten that photograph if I hadn't given the group I was following my trust and my concern of where the pictures were going. And again, that could have been taken with a mobile phone, because they were still. And so these things happen. And that just goes back to the point of having connection with your subject matter and the access they give you. And that was the only photo out there of that. And it ran worldwide.
So
I didn't want to say that about police.
So you have a relationship with Zuma and Zuma Press. Talk about that, as what Zuma is and what your connection to them is.
Again, Zuma is a wire service, just all editorial, all reportage, all photojournalism. And they license images out to publications like the Wall Street Journal. You'll see our pictures in the Wall Street Journal almost every day. But it's a large agency that's global, and I connected with them years ago when I used to work for the Associated Press. I was a staff photographer for the Associated Press in Trenton, and we would sometimes send them pictures to use and go out. And I've been with Zuma now contract for 4 or 5 years now, and we get contract work and we get news work like the BLM and COVID and. When New York City opened up the last month, and opened for the schools, and now they shut down. So that Zuma is a huge but quiet agency, and I like them because they treat their photographers pretty well.
And how does it work? You were talking about contracts, so you're saying that on one hand, if you cover something interesting, you can submit the photos, and on the other hand, they may reach out to you and ask you to cover something?
That's correct. So if I have my own story to come up, I will say, hey, this is what I'm working on. I'm going to send it in. Or sometimes with the BLM, I will send in daily work. I would send work in. I would file from the field, and the next day, believe it or not, pictures would appear, you know, in publications around the world. Even on ABC News, they use a lot of our work. And then sometimes they'll call you and say, because, you know, photojournalism now is tough to really get into. There's a lot of photojournalists out there. I won't kid anyone. And the field is really tight. So getting work editorially for photojournalism is really tough. But if you're out there, you're banging the streets and people know your work, you know, you're going to get work. You're going to get a lot of notice. So that's how I work at Zuma. It's speculative, or it's an assignment.
And so you, let's say you cover you're covering the Trans March, and some really dramatic stuff happens. Like the week before I saw you, the police had gone in and basically wilded out on people and done the arrest. And so if you have some of those dramatic pictures, and let's say you're not on assignment and you post those, they may be pulled by different publications that are interested. And then what happens? You get paid by the number of uses or something?
Yeah, you get paid, exactly. You get paid by the number of uses. Send it in, you get paid by the number of uses. Zuma doesn't, they have an average pay. And there's a report that comes back each month of, they pay you monthly on the images that they use. So they would, broadcast and publication would use images like that. I hate to say it, but they do face off and conflict. They'll run those images. Mm-hmm. But they also run nice, pretty images of feature shots as well. So if I see someone, something peculiar, like a someone on a horse walking down on a horse on Broadway, that's unusual. They'll run that photo because you don't see people other than policemen riding the horses down Broadway. Which I did capture a picture of someone doing that, and they did run that photograph. So.
And you had on your business card, and I also saw here, one that looks like a raging granny, a white raging granny, a happily raging granny, in front of the Black Lives Matter sign. So tell me the story of that one.
Oh, my goodness. She was a wonder. She was 90 years old. I think she's still over. She came through on her walker, as she lives not too far from City Hall. Her name is Shotzi. And she believed in the protest. I asked her, why are you out here? I said, well, I'm here to support Black Lives Matter, she said. And I said, can you stand here by this flag and let me get a picture of you? That's all I said. And then she just raised her hand. And I said, oh, I'll take that picture. That's a nice photograph. And I really liked that woman. I talked to her once or twice after the photograph, just to check on her, because she's a 90-year-old woman in a walker. She just walked right on through the crowd, saying Black Lives Matter. I think a lot of my other photo friends got pictures of her as well. And she was a dynamite. I really liked that woman. And you see she's covered up with her mask on.
Right.
Go right. To New York.
Yeah, only in the city. So yeah. What about, so you kind of covered the journalism side, and I know that, you know, fine art is treated as different, even though to me they're a lot the same. Is there any kind of fine art photography that you do, if I'm even using the word right?
Oh, no, you are using the word right. Fine art is trending now. And of course, in black and white, it's trending in street photography. It's trending in architectural or landscapes. So, yeah, I delve into fine art photography, and I specifically do that under street photography, because I do get some clients who like that type of work for more wall hanging or decor. And I would encourage photographers, if they can't get into photojournalism or food photography or weather photography, try fine art. And fine art is really what you define it as. It's not clear-cut apples and oranges. It's whatever you define the image as to be fine art. And I would really, really encourage photographers to look into that field to do prints, because there are people out there soliciting and buying prints. And you can walk down Soho and see many art galleries are still around and still hanging photographs and still having shows, even during this COVID time.
So for us in the field of radio, the digitalization of sound has been a great, 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 great plus for our work. I'm not one of those people that goes and says to people, well, you know, back in the day we had to cut tape and you had to keep track of it and you had to splice it together and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, the days where, you know, you're carefully counting the rolls of film, you know, talk about Kodachrome, and then you've got to turn it all in to be processed and all the expense involved. How what's your take on the digital side of things?
Believe it or not, I have one client that loves film, and I still shoot film for them. But digital has saved us a lot of tons of money because we, back in the day, we used to have to, when I used to work for the AP, we used to develop film out of the car, believe it or not. I could tell you about that story another time. But since 2001, I've been shooting 99% all digital, and I still use film for one client who loves it on a large format camera.
Brian, we're going to have to leave it there. I tried to sneak one last question in because of that, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on and talk to us. Brian Branch Price, professional photographer, portraits, photo documentary, Zuma member, I guess you would say, contractor. So thank you for being on the air. You can go to brianbranchprice.com and learn more about his work. Thank you for being on the air. And we will keep up with your work. So have a great day, everybody. We're going to be back tomorrow with another program. And so make the best of the day you've got in front of you. King Downing signing out. Good morning, Nueva York, WBAI.org. Have a great day. You know what I mean. Butterflies are having fun. You know what I mean. Live in peace when day is done. That's what I mean. And this whole world is a new world and a bold world.
To you.
Thank you for thinking of me. I thank you. Let me say thank you to all you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
I'm Sharon Salam, the mother of Yusef Salam from the Central Park Five. Right now, WBAI is having a membership drive. I encourage you to join me as a member of WBAI, the station where people go to get their message out when there's no place else. WBAI is the station that stood by us when Donald Trump was trashing my son and the other four boys, trying to get them killed for the rape of the Central Park jogger. Many of you would not even have heard of that case if it had not been for WBAI. Please join WBAI today for just $25 membership. You can call to pledge 516-620-3602. Again, that's 516-620-3602. Thank you so much.
Building Bridges, your community and labor report. From your workplace to your neighborhood, listen to the show that brings it all together. Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash, bringing you news and analysis, local, national, and international. Monday nights, 7 p.m., we build bridges.
And it's time we started calling the shots.
Come on, neighbors, let's get wise.
So, the plaster is falling, the paint is peeling, the plumbing is leaking, the heat and hot water keep cutting off, the elevator keeps breaking down, and the landlord won't return your calls, but the rent keeps going up and up and up?
Find out what you can do about it. Tune in to Housing Notebook, Mondays at 8 p.m.
Reactionary.
Lord.
Hi, this is David Amram. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 on your FM dial, and keep on listening.